Well, this morning, I want to take a few minutes as we get into December, because we're here. How many people feel like Christmas is a little earlier than it was sort of feeling like it was going to be this year to you? How many of you guys feel like it's right on time? Okay. How many of you guys feel like it's late? Where's Christmas been? Oh, hey, good deal. We got everybody in between. That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah, if you're a kid, you're like, why isn't it Christmas today? Right? I get that. Well, let's talk a little bit as we get into December and the Christmas season about this word gift. Anybody heard this word before? Are we familiar with this word gift? I tell Jamie all the time that, you know, I'm a gift, baby. And, oh, not so much. Okay, fair enough. Let's take a look at this passage in Proverbs 18:16 says this: a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. What a cool sounding phrase. The gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. Now you may think to yourself, wow, that seems deep. And I agree, it is pretty deep. It's kind of a reference to maybe a gift opening the way in the sense that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the talents and the things that God gives us and hands us into and entrusts us to utilize in our life open doors of connection for us and open access to places we wouldn't be able to access without his gifts at work in our life. Kind of a cool passage, this opening the way and ushering us into the presence of the great. And you might think, man, what a gift it is to be ushered into the presence of our great God. I mean, all that's really great stuff, really great. But I want to let you know I'm shamelessly just stealing this verse and probably pulling three words out of context just because it's a great verse that has three words I want to talk about this morning: gift, giver, and presence. Presence. All right. Is that wrong to just cheat and pull three words out of it? I just want to be upfront and honest with you. It's a great passage. It says some powerful things about God's gifting in our life and what it looks like to utilize those. And when we do, it becomes something that impactfully opens doors for us to have access to have great effectiveness. And maybe that ties into the whole Oliver point here of this. But I want to unpack gift, giver, and presence. And it's all right there in Proverbs 18. So hang with me. Maybe it'll make more sense as we go. Good chance it won't. But let's talk a little bit about these words. Gift, we all kind of know what gift is. It's something someone gives, right, to us. In fact, we have this word giver. And giver is someone who receives? No, someone who gives, right? Very simply, someone who has something. And if we want to go like King James, it could be like bestows upon. Or we could go like NLT, tosses to a buddy, right? Whatever the translation you're using. But a giver gives something, right? And we know from Scripture that our God is the epic giver, right? In James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift has a source, and that source is our Father in heaven. Now, sometimes the enemy wants to take credit for things or try to create a little doubt and deception. Sometimes we want to take credit for the good things that show up in our life based on our own skills, and maybe we say to ourselves, you know, my gifts have given me access into the presence of the great. Where'd you get those gifts? Oh, from your heavenly Father who bestowed them or dished them out, tossed them to you because he loves you, because he is good and he gives good to his children. Now, Christmas is coming up. Well, this next verse may help that. Let me go there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, we hear Jesus saying, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, I want you to know that, let's say, I'm going to give you a little theoretical here, right? Let's say in theory, you and your wife are having a conversation about presents for the kids, and she gives you a budget, right, that's like pretty set. And you see, though, a really good gift that even though you're evil, you want to give to your kid. And it's biblical because it says it. Should you follow your wife's boundary on the financial side of things? Okay, I just didn't know. I thought we could unpack that together and I'd get some general. Okay, fair enough. We're idiots, but we know how to give good gifts to our kids, right? One of my big problems at Christmas time is that I like my children. It depends on the day, but for the most part, I really like my kids. And I want to give them good gifts. And I don't mean like crazy expensive gifts, though it really stinks the older they get, doesn't it? Because like that dollar store thing that they played with for like a day one time now is like, Dad, I'm not a child, but we have to get them technology stuff, right? And expensive gifts, right? It's painful as parents trying to give good gifts. But the thing is, as a parent, we want to give good gifts, right? How many of you hope, like when you go through your Christmas list, as you look at your family and especially your kids, maybe parents, how many of you hope when those kids open those packages Christmas morning, they say, ah, dang, all right, thanks a lot, that's great. Now, some of you might, and I get it, you have teenage boys, I understand, it's a rewarding moment, you know, when they're like, disappointment creeps, no, I'm just kidding. We don't want to disappoint our kids. We don't want to give them stuff they don't want. We don't want to give them bad gifts. We are imperfect, flawed people. And Jesus says, hey, even though you're evil and you're wicked and you struggle with sin and there's failure and all these messes, you know what it's like to give good gifts and you want to give good gifts because when you love somebody, you want to give. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. When you're a kid, you don't understand that. You don't. But you grow in that sometimes. And that's why we do crazy things like food drives and coat drives and different projects to try to help give things to people. Because every once in a while, when you give something to somebody and you see what that good gift in their life evokes in them and the value they experience from the receiving of that good gift, man, there's a feeling you get from that that feels good. And many of us have done that, given good gifts to people and watched and found our reward not in, all right, now what's in it for me, but rather, what a joy it was to give. And Jesus says, even though you're evil, you know how to do that. How much more your Heavenly Father who loves you. God loves to give good gifts to his children. He wants to give good gifts to his children. Now let me take a quick little aside here and just say this. Sometimes we see God as Santa Claus and we want all the good gifts he's got for us. And we have a nice little check punch list for him to get the good gifts that we want and request, right? That's important because we want to have what we want to have when we want to have it. Otherwise, God's not good. Sometimes we fall into that deception. It's not the truth. It's not the truth at all. But we want what we want. We chase what we want. And we kind of make God into this heavenly Santa Claus who fills our punch list of things. He's a good father who gives good gifts, and he knows what you need, and he knows what you don't need. And sometimes the things that you want aren't really good for you, and he loves you enough to say no to those things. And we mistake that as not loving us, or we see that as some withholding from God, and instead he might be protecting you from a choice that would cause more damage and destruction in your life, right? His wisdom and his discernment over us is significant. And we need to trust that as we receive from God the good things he wants to give us. And we got to be careful not to look around at the good things he gives to other people and be a jealous brother or sister in Christ who wonders why that person received a blessing that looks super great on them, but I didn't get it for me. And then I become resentful towards God and what he is doing because he knows what he's doing with me and I can trust him. And he knows what he's doing with my brother or sister. I can trust him because he's God and he knows. And it's not up to me to fight or battle him on the receiving of the gifts that I want or the chasing after the gifts that I want, but rather to stand with open hands and say, Lord, do what you want to do. And I trust you in this. I trust you. He's a good God and he is a good father and he gives and he teaches us to give. It's crazy to think that our God wants to give because we see the tyranny of some dictatorial God as wanting to take and receive our worship and receive our tithes and offerings and receive our peasant adoration. That's not who he is. He loves us. He loves us. He wants relationship with us. I don't give presents to my kids because I have to. I want to. And sometimes I want to too much and get in trouble with Jamie, but that's another story, right? We love, and so we give. And God has called us and put in our hearts the same spirit if we'll get away from the selfishness and the self-indulgence, the stuff we chase after for us, and get in touch with a heart that wants to give. Because see, he's called you and me to be people who give. Scripture says over in 2 Corinthians, remember this, whoever sows sparingly, this is not like a stitching conversation. This is about sprinkling seeds in an agricultural world, right? As you sow, everyone who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Meaning, if you go out and you put in 3 seeds in the ground and you take a break and call it a day or a season, you're not going to get a lot of produce, right, that grows from those 3 seeds. But God says those who sow generously, scattering seed all over the place, man, they're going to reap a big time harvest. It was fun last night as my dad's son to listen to the people talk about the impact he's had as he's spread the seeds of love and investment and serving people all of his life. And it blessed my heart as a son to listen to people talk about the stuff that grew in their life and the harvest that was there because of what he did. And not because he's awesome, but because he was faithful and wasn't perfectly faithful, blew some things, no doubt. I got the same DNA, I know it. But the reality is he served, and as he sowed generously, last night was a fun time of reaping generously in love as a church. And thank you for that. That was really special. Jesus says, sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But sow generously, you're going to reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love this word in the Greek. When we get into it, it's where we get our word hilarious. Hilarious. Love that, right? Hilarious. This word in the Greek literally means cheerful, joyous, prompt to do anything. I don't know if I'm allowed to reference. I watch a lot of football, so I pray a lot, and then I pray about my attitude a lot. But there was this beer company that had a commercial, something about up for anything years ago. Does anybody remember that crazy thing they did? They just did stupid things all over the world doing crazy stuff. We're in church, and I see several of you like, I can't say yes, because I muted the beer commercial, Andy. I don't know what you're talking about. But the point was this. Everybody was excited about just full of energy and excitement and crazy to just try stuff, right? This is the picture that God says, this is what I want to see in the hearts of my people as it relates to giving, because it's in my heart as your Heavenly Father. I want to see joy and cheerful and prompt, ready to jump in and do anything. I want to see hilarious giving. Giving that doesn't even worry about anything but just lavishly sows in generosity and gives and doesn't worry about the tail end of it and the reciprocating effects and whatever, you know? It's not about receiving, it's just about giving. It's just about giving, right? How can we give? How can we get in touch with the heart of our Father and just be people who are generous and give? Sometimes we make this mistake and say, well, the church always talks about money. I'm not talking about money. Money's part of it. It's part of our stewardship of life. But I'm talking about our life. We got to be people who are givers. And man, we spent years being people who are sort of like self-preservationists. And we are consumed with our own little circle and our own little agendas and our own little spaces. And God calls us to be people who have hearts that are open, hands that are open, who just give. We're just generous. Because that's who he is. He gives. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, on the just and the unjust. Shouldn't God just give to the good people? No, he loves and he gives and he pours out and he reaches in love all around. And he's called us to be those kind of people. We ought to be people who say, how can I give? What can I give? Where can I give? When can I give? I need opportunity, Lord. Show me the opportunities in my day where I can be a giver and not a taker. And Jesus tells us it's more blessed not because he's trying to trick us. I love telling people about Jesus on this front. He actually cares about you. He actually wants what's best for you. He doesn't give you rules and laws and regulations so that you can be miserable and miss out on life. He actually knows the end of the journey that leads to destruction and the narrow way that leads to eternal life. And he loves you enough to tell you about it, to warn you to stay away from the things that will lead to destruction, to invite you into the challenging, difficult road that leads to eternal life, because he loves you, because he's good. I used an illustration this day in my class this week. If Jed came up to me and said, "Hey, Dad, Kerrigan Road's pretty cool. I was thinking maybe I'd lay on the center line out there and let the cars drive by and feel the air in my hair. What do you think? Can I do that?" There's no way in the world. I mean, I guess it depends on what, but no, there's no way in the world, Jed, that I would say, "Yeah, go lay out there." Why? Because that's a road that's going to lead to destruction in his life, right? He's going to get hurt. Jesus loves you. He says, stay away from sexual immorality. Stay away from all this greed and envy and strife, and stay away from sin, because he wants you pure, because otherwise you're bad. Well, fair, but he wants that for you because the road that that stuff's on is the road to eternal death and destruction. And he calls us to life because he loves you, because he's good and he gives, and we ought to too. All right, sorry, enough about giving. Presents, let's talk about presents. Any fans of presents in here? Kind of feel guilty now that I said about all this giving. You're like, "No, I don't even like presents. I don't want presents. I don't want to receive anything. I just want to give, Andy. Just give, give, give. No presents for me." Actually, that was my trick to see if I could get out of messing Christmas up for Jamie that way this year. Actually, I'm having a problem because Jamie is doing such an amazing job of like just getting rid of stuff and not wanting to have all these possession things and kind of like simplify life. She's making Jed and I and the boys take pictures of things we want to give her and give her the picture because we can't buy more junk for her to stick on her vanity that piles up. Well, that stinks because we like getting presents. And so she, you know what? You're not letting me be a giver. Shame on you. I haven't, you know, Krikor, you preached for a while. We had Thanksgiving. I haven't gotten in trouble up here for weeks. So like, I'm so far overdue getting in trouble with my wife. This is refreshing. Kind of back at it. All right, I'm moving on. So we want to buy presents for people. We like to give gifts to people. It's fun at Christmas time to give packages and receive packages. It's fun stuff to do. It's excitement and it's joy and it's an expression of love and caring about the people around us. I don't think it's bad. I think Jesus is this amazing gift to all humanity. And when we give gifts at Christmas time and we can keep our minds focused on what Christmas is really about, it can be part of the celebration of Christmas that we give gifts just like God gave his lavish love to us. But sometimes we can get consumed with our to-do list of getting presents and checking off the boxes. And this week, somebody sent me a little meme that I thought was really cool on their Christmas to-do list. And you've probably seen this, or you've seen a better one, or maybe this is yours and they stole it from you. I apologize. But I thought this was an interesting look as we think about getting out there and getting the presents and doing all the busy stuff we got to do this season to be givers. Maybe we should take a look at this list. Christmas to-do list. Buy presents? No. Be present. Wrap gifts? Wrap someone in a hug. Send gifts? Maybe send peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Shop for food? Maybe donate food. See the lights? Maybe be the light. Kind of a cool picture of what we set out to do in this season of exchanging presents and gifts and being givers. Maybe we need to look at our list and maybe amend a couple pieces. I want to take a look at this present one a second because I think this is significant. This word presence, and we drop this S, go present. Maybe God wants us to be present more than he wants us to just pile up presents. This word presence, actually here in Proverbs, in the Hebrew, it means face. It means face. That is a cool thing. The presence of God. Adam and Eve hid from the presence. They hid from the face of God. This word face, I mean, what a cool picture that is for presence, right? To be present is to be face to face. You guys don't know this, but God invented FaceTime, right? He invented it. His presence with us, it's FaceTime, and he wants FaceTime with you. He wants your presence with him. He wants to be present in your life. We have a chance to decline that offer. Unfortunately, most of us swipe away and move on to something else. Don't mean to be too convicting there, but God desires some FaceTime with you. He does. And the idea of presence is all about face to face. I mean, I could preach for like a month or maybe 10 years about what relationship looks like. Yes, I don't even have my phone with me. Yeah, it's a first. But to have these little devices that help us be present with the people we're with, don't they? What if God wants us to give the gift of presence and not just presence? And I want to challenge you this season. You're going to be interacting with people face to face. And the temptation is to have a little device that gets your FaceTime and you split your FaceTime. But the problem is when you split your FaceTime, your brain is still tied to this other stream of consciousness, no matter what your eyes are doing over here. And you can tell people you're present, and you can say, I was paying attention, but man, we're not present. And I want to challenge us this year, in this season, to actually be present with people. We're going to think about presence all the time, but every time you hear the word presence, every time you hear the word present, and every time you think about a present list that you got to get to, every time you're busy hustling, right? The hustle and bustle. I love this. Good things come to those who hustle their bustle. Fair, fair. Hustle your bustle. I get it. There's some things about, you know, not being lazy and getting after stuff. And I mean, there's some biblical principle there to hard work and, right? But what about in this season of hustle and bustle and chase and run and busyness? What if instead of hustling, we just stop? And maybe we just sit with somebody and we're just present with them. Face, presence with them. Your kids love you and they need the latest toy. I get it. Your parents, they need that lame thing to stick on that shelf. I get it. But maybe in the midst of chasing all that stuff, you could find some space or make some space to stop. To stop and be present. Maybe even instead of buying presents, you decide to be the present in the moment and with the people you're with. I'm going to try that with my kids. Like, Jed, my presence is enough presence for you. Why you laugh like that's not going to work? You don't think that's, Jed, that'll work, yeah? You just want to be with your dad instead of Christmas presents. Oh, nice, nice, all right. Dude's got a poker face. Not good, not good. That's all right. He wasn't listening for the last 10 minutes. You're fine, Jed. All right. You're good, buddy. I'm getting in trouble with the whole family. Josiah, what are you doing, man? Let's just get in trouble. Let's make this happen. I like it. I like it. Maybe the best way to be present and to be the present is to take a look at whatever your Christmas list looks like. It might look like something like this, but maybe we reassess what we're doing, how we're doing it, and add in a little bit of a picture of what it looks like to be a real giver of your heart and a real giver of love to the people around you. And that's not usually material stuff. That's usually your gift of time and your gift of value and your gift of heart. And you can't put price tags on those things. And people need to know. They need to see the generosity of the Spirit of the people of God sharing love and reaching to them. And maybe in the process of all of it. So for real, that's my phone going off. I don't know who's texting me back there, but that's why I should probably keep it with me. Ridiculous. All right. maybe in the process of being a giver, we can get people in touch, right, with the real giver, the one who gives life to everyone. In this season, instead of just giving stuff that's going to burn, we might give the love of Christ to some people who are ready to hear it and see it if we'll stop and be present with them. Tracy, you can silence that phone or you can quit texting me. Either way you want, buddy. I know what's going on. Now that he knows this is my phone, he's like, dee, 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 dee. All right. Yeah, thanks. Hey, I want to close with this. This is a prayer of David. Rusty's going to come and play something here in a minute. I want to close this prayer because I think this is pretty epic. David and the Israelites are gathering possessions to give to the temple of God, and they're being generous, and they've been incredibly generous as a people. And David says this incredible prayer, and I think it's a prayer I'd love for us to be able to pray together too as his people. And I had a paper somewhere, but I tried to see that. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor that come from you. You are the ruler of all things, and in your hand are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. And hear what David says. But who am I? Who am I? And who are my people? Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. We are able to give because he first gave to us. We are able to be a blessing to others because of his blessings that he has poured out on his people. We can be generous because our God is generous. He loves you, and he has given to you so that you might give to those around you. Let's strive to be present, and let's strive to be givers in this season, that the love of Christ might wash over every space we stop and pause and are present. Lord, thank you for the incredible gift of your love. Thank you for your mind-blowing generosity to us. We have been given life, deserving of eternal death, but we have been given life. And we ought to be able to get into touch with a deep level of generosity because of it. Lord, this season where we chase sales and packages and presents for so many, God, would you help us to be mindful, to be present, to stop, to sit, to give of our time, to give of the precious moments you've given to us. Because you didn't just give them to us so we could squander them or selfishly just indulge in what we want all the time. Help us to give of ourselves, to be the light that shines, and that this Christmas will look different in eternity because of how we love intentionally and present in the moments you prepare for us. Help us to live that and experience some amazing things this season together in you. In Jesus' name, amen.